Good morning. Since I walked in this morning, just honestly, just to see you and be around some of you and observe you and the high privilege of hugging some of you has increasingly given me strength and joy and blessing in these last few minutes. So I am delighted to be with you. I feel unworthy to preach to you today, but it's not about my being worthy, is it? And my message today, I'm preaching to my own heart especially, and I'm preaching it to your heart individually. It's not accidental that we're having the Lord's table today in light of this message, though I didn't plan this message because we're having the Lord's Supper. But the height of what I want to speak to about today is exemplified in this love feast. I want to speak to us today about the love of God for us, His love for you individually. Because I've increasingly come to believe that our view of His love for us, our truly believing it and not wavering, and our resting in it and experiencing in it is the greatest need in the Christian life. So I have two texts today. Jude 21, one phrase from it, and then we'll go back to 1 John 4. Jude 21, notice this phrase in the second half of the verse. Jude 21, this admonition, this exhortation, this call, notice it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Isn't that strange language? It sounds like he's saying, keep yourself saved. Make sure you keep God loving you. No, that's not at all what's here. In all that it means, Jude wants us to receive it, that we have a responsibility to keep ourselves in the reality of God's love for us. And for some of you, I would wager that this is your biggest battle, that you don't live in light of His love daily, that you aren't assured of it daily, that a sense of His love, like circumstances and struggles, comes and goes, rises and falls, and there's not a steadiness in keeping yourself in the reality of God's love for you. Keep yourselves in the love of God, Jude says. Now, back a few pages to 1 John 4. This one phrase toward the end of chapter of verse 16. Notice what John says is his experience and the experience of those who he is writing to. Notice this sentence. So we have come to know. John stating a fact. So we have come to truly know and to believe and have believed, some translations, what? The love that God has for us. We have come to truly know and we have believed the love God has for us. The love of God for us. You know, when you sit back and think about it, there is no bigger or in a way better or more important truth in all of Scripture. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ trumps all of it, right? But in terms of truths about God. Truths relating to salvation. There's nothing that permeates the Old and New Testament more than the truth of God's love for His people. It kind of stands out as a Mount Everest among the mountains of Scripture. And when you think about all that the Bible says about it, and over it states it, that God loves us, the frequency in the Bible of this being declared is a clarion call. It's a loud call to all mankind, openly declaring that this is true for men and women. Calling sinners to believe it. The love of God is supremely significant and central. And yet, isn't it true that sinners, no sinner will believe it until a miracle happens in their mind and their heart? They will not believe it. They can't believe it, that God would love them as they are. But you know, sinners aren't the only ones who have a problem with believing the love of God, are they? Some of you do. Some of you have over the years. Maybe all of us at times, we aren't basking in the sunshine of this unchanging sunshine of love. We're living under the clouds that come. And we don't have the freshness and the sense of security about the love of God for us. This may be the biggest problem for many Christians, the battle of doubting God's love for them. They can't accept it and rest in it. They know God loves others freely, but not me, their heart would say. I don't know for sure. One day I feel it, but I'm up and down. You know, half the time I don't even properly love myself, and it's hard for me to believe others who seem to love me, who tell me they love me. It's hard for me to even believe that other people really love me. So how much more could a perfect, all-knowing, all-seeing God love me as I am? This is possibly the biggest single issue for many Christians in their relationship with the Lord. Up and down, doubting, struggling, being in a state of unbelief at times, where they believe that's not true toward them. And they've never settled it. As John settled it when he says, "We have come to know and have believed this love that God has for us." And I think that this is the root issue of why many believers struggle so. Simply because they don't agree with John. They haven't come to the place the Apostle John came to. And they're not doing what Jude exhorts us to do, to keep themselves in the reality of the love of God. Now, it is strange language, keep yourself. Let's be sure we're clear what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean you do anything to keep God loving you, for you to keep yourselves in His love. It doesn't mean our actions somehow keep God's love active toward us. It doesn't mean that we are doing anything to earn more of God's love. But rather, keeping ourselves in the love of God means our believing truly and receiving and experiencing God's love for us. That's what it means to keep ourselves in His love. His love is constant toward us. So our love for Him and our belief about His love for us must become constant as well. Our faith in the reality that He loves me can become as constant and steady as the Holy Spirit could make it to be. Do you believe it's the will of God for you to be firm and sound and solid and unmoved in the reality that God loves you? Is that your inheritance in Christ? The Bible would tell us that it is. His love is constant, and we must be constant in believing that. To continue to keep ourselves in His love means that we keep ourselves in worship and in fellowship in the atmosphere where God's love is real. It means that we affirm and remind and encourage ourselves of His love for us. Sometimes I wake up and I remember that my first words often ought to be, "Father, thank you that you love me, and Father, I love you." This is communion of love. And it's the exhortation is summed up in the verb keep, there in Jude 21. Keep. Keep yourselves. Keep yourself in something. In what? In the love of God. Now there's four implications that are just obvious here. Just in Jude's exhortation, number one, it's a personal responsibility. You must do this. You must believe rightly and truly in an ongoing way about the love of God for you. It's a personal responsibility. Secondly, this is speaking of Christian experience, not head knowledge. Do you know anyone, any Christian can intellectually affirm, "For God so loved the world, Jesus loves me," and they are not experiencing the love of God for them? This is not head knowledge, it's speaking of Christian experience. Thirdly, the focus in Jude 21 is the love of God for us. And fourthly, the issue is to keep ourselves actively in the reality of that love. Christians who've learned that and do that, they flourish and they stay encouraged week in and week out. Christians who don't learn to do that, to keep themselves actively in the reality of God's love, they struggle consistently. So I have 2 points this morning. They're simple, they're clear, so let's hear them today. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Number one, we keep ourselves in the love of God by believing the love God has for us. 1 John 4, by believing it. Secondly, we keep ourselves in the love of God by experiencing the love God has for us. Believing it and experiencing. That's how you keep it. Let's unpack this a little bit. John says, we have believed this love that He has for us. To keep ourselves in the love of God is a discipline of the mind. We must believe what God has said. We must believe the record. Every place God addresses to us about His love for us, we must affirm to ourselves, this is true. We must believe it. We must absolutely drill down deep that this declaration of His love for us is how He is toward us all the time. The Bible is so abundantly clear about His love that there is no excuse for doubt or unbelief. There isn't. Now, do we doubt it? Do we find ourselves in unbelief? Do we find ourselves under a cloud? Yes, sometimes, and it's a battle. But we have no excuse to stay there. God has so much told us in this Word of how much He loves us and what it means. None of us are off the hook in believing it and receiving it. Just in 1 John alone, John rapidly and clearly over and over says it. And God inspired John to say it that way that many times, so we will get it and believe it. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. 1 John 3. Love is of God. Later, God is love. And this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that he sent his son. This is love, God says, not that we love God, but that he loved us. If God so loved us, why is God over and over saying that through John? Because by declaring this so much, he's saying to us, look at me properly. See, this is how what I'm like. See, this is what I'm like. See that this is how I am toward you if you're my child. This is what is true of me toward you. This is what you're to know about me. What my love is truly like. That it's eternal and unchanging. And it's passionate. And it's emotional. And it's real and it's constant. Always toward you. Always upon you. John Owen said this, quote, "The love of the Father is a love of bounty, as a spring and a fountain, like an unseen river, always proceeding toward us, always flowing in us and to us." Think about it, beloved. Everything God has ever done for you came out of his love for you. Everything God has ever done in redemption, he did in love. Love motivated all of it. Love executed all of it. Love continues all of it. Everything in our salvation, the scriptures directly connect to his love. For instance, Jeremiah 31, he has loved you with an everlasting love, eternal love. Ephesians 1, in love he predestined us to be sons. John 3, God so loved he gave. The act of the sending of the Son was because God loved a lost, desperately wicked world. The love of God was the source and the reason. Ephesians 2, because of his great love with which he loved us, he made us alive in Christ. When you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins, his love quickened you in your spiritual death and you came alive because of his great love for you. The death of Christ is about the love of God. This meal represents the atonement, the suffering and the passion, and the dying work of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. And that is demonstrated, Romans says, his love was demonstrated in this, that when we were still sinners, what? Christ died for us. The demonstration of God's love in the cross. And of course, toward the end of Romans 8 is kind of the mountaintop in some ways. And you'll notice toward the end of the chapter, our final preservation in Christ is all set in the context of his love for us. Nothing shall be able to separate us from what? The love of Christ. In all things, Paul says there, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Everything of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit toward us needs to be seen through the lens of the love of God. It all flows out of this eternal love, the way the Father is. Now, you know, John Owen even mentioned, as I was reading him, that often it's not so much that believers are doubting the love of Christ Jesus as much as they struggle about the love of God the Father in loving them. Christ, his life, his work, his living, his example explode on the pages of the gospel. We see this man. We see his acts of love. We see him touching the leper and raising the dead and forgiving the sinner. We see his love enacted. And Owen says, it's harder sometimes for the Christian to view the love of the unseen Father for them. Even though they see the love of Christ for them. He says, the unapproachable one, the Father of lights, the holy, righteous Father. The problem lies with our truly knowing, because He's so holy and righteous, that He does exercise judgment, that He is a God of wrath towards sin. Our conscience sometimes doesn't lay hold of the fact that God the Father, in His Son, now only loves His children with an exceeding great love. A love that 1 John 3 says, behold what manner of love that we're now called the sons of God. People accept that Jesus loves them, but for you, is your view of the Father's love any less? When the love of God is specifically mentioned in the New Testament, generally, now when it speaks about the love of Christ, we know that's specific. When it speaks about the love of the Spirit, we know that's real and true. But when the love of God is mentioned generally in the New Testament, it is the Father that's meant to be seen as the source of this love. It's the Father's love that the writers are often mentioning. God loved us and sent His Son. That's the Father. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the Father Himself loves you. And He said also, therefore man loves me and will keep my words. My Father will what? Love him. And we will come and make our abode with him. And Paul especially clarifies this in 2 Corinthians 13 when he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit. It is the Father's love that's in view there and that is ascribed to Him. So, on this issue of keeping ourselves in the love of God by believing it, let's just pause. Do you truly believe this truth about God, the Father, that He has clearly told you is true in His Word? Have you settled it? Do you believe deeply based on the naked revelation of the truth of God, that God has declared it, that God the Father loves me perfectly, unconditionally, in an unchanging way, and I am secure in that love? Do you believe that? Do you truly believe and receive God's love for you? Or do you still doubt it or deny it? Do you know, it is a great dishonor to the Lord to doubt His love for us. It is directly an offense to the character of God when we doubt His love for us. It is directly not glorifying Him when we doubt His love for us. We keep ourselves in God's love when we accept this and receive what He has said to us about that love. That's point number one. Knowing and believing the love He has for us. But that's not all that we're to do. Secondly, we're to experience His love continually. And this is where keeping ourselves in the love of God is so vital, that we're to be active in it. We're to actively pursue the reality of knowing and experiencing the love of God for us through the Son by the Holy Spirit. We're to experience. Jude is about experiencing these realities. Not just head knowledge, but heart experience. So, your experience, your certainty of the love of God for you, has it gone from here to here? It's got to stay here, but it's got to dwell both places. If it's just here and absent here, you won't experience the love of God for you. Jude says in that verse four things, and they are all experiential. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith. That's experiential. Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's experiential. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's experiential. And keeping yourselves in the love of God. To be continually keeping ourselves in the reality of this. To keep it ever before us. This implies keeping on knowing and experiencing it. We're never to take a break from the love of God. Everything the Bible says to us, about us, comes through that stream of His love for us. Whom the Father loves, He chastens. Even your chastening, even your being corrected, even your being disciplined, comes out of pure love from your Heavenly Father. Not anger, not wrath, not punishment. We must let the love of God rule in our view of Him about us. I want to say that again. The love of God, you must let it rule in your view of Him about you. That I am perfectly loved unconditionally because God has said it. Because He said it. My emotions, my cloudy perspective must bow to the reality of the naked revealed truth here, and I must affirm all the time, Father, You love me perfectly. That's what we must keep ourselves in, to enjoy His love and to affirm it daily, to commune with Him in love because His communion with us is a communion of love. To pour out your love to Him in your relationship with Him. To tell Him that frequently. To seek to be filled with His love. For His love to be made real to your heart, for you to long for that and pray for that. And for us in our failures and our points where we blow it, we sin, we fail, we hurt others, to see Jesus loving us then in our failure and in our sin and in our need as He did Peter. Do you think it was hard for Peter to hear Jesus say, Peter, do you love me? I think it was. But the Lord nailed him. He wouldn't let him off the hook. In Peter's miserable failure, Peter wasn't put on probation. The Lord Jesus came to him, sought him out, and said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter had to acknowledge it. It was asked three times. Peter said it three times. This is walking in the love of God. In all our ways, do we walk in the light of this love relationship? Christ wants us to know it. The thing He wants us to know when we've blown it is, do you love me? Because I'm loving you right now. Do you still love me? It's love that reigns supreme in our relationship with our Savior and with our Father. Have you settled the issue? In all our ways, we must walk in the light of this love relationship that we have. Beloved, as much as the Bible states this, we need to view the love of God as a full-on, bright, glorious sunshine that is never cloudy. The love of the Father. And we are to bask in it. We are to enjoy it and rest in it and experience it and rejoice in it. The Christian, if he wants to enjoy the love of God, should make much of it, major on it. And every day take time to bask in the full sunshine of His free, perfect love for you. John Owen, again, listen to what he said closely about this, the Father's love. Quote, "Many disturbing thoughts are apt to rise in us regarding the Father's love, and few rise to the reality of faith to carry up their hearts and minds to rest their souls in the love of the Father. Few carry themselves up to rest their hearts and minds in the love of the Father. They live below it," Owen says, "in the troublesome realm of doubt and clouds and fear. But faith must embrace that this is the will of God, for the Father to be viewed as only kind and tender and loving and unchangeable toward us. For the love of the Father is the only rest for our hearts." Close quote. Beloved, you and I must know and accept the record and settle it that God loves us. We must receive that. And we must experience it. We must know and experience it if we're to love Him properly. If you are insecure in the love of God toward you, you will not love Him freely and fully. This has to be settled, and you can settle it. The Spirit of God can deal with this in you and take you there for you to be secure in the love of God for you. We must stay there, praying and meditating on this to make it fresh. The big test is, do I really believe it? Do I receive His love for me and accept it as my own? Do I believe the Father's own testimony to me about this? His love, not mine, the resting place. We sang it earlier. The love of God for you. The love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love of the Holy Spirit. His love, beloved, must govern our view of the gospel. His love must govern our acceptance in Christ. His love must govern the Father's view of me. It must govern my prayer life. Because you will not pray with confidence and joy and assurance if you approach the one you're doubting who loves you. My assurance depends on this. My joy thrives on it. The love of the Father is the source and reason of all that He is to us and all He has done for us. Where are you today about this? Indeed, our love ebbs and flows. But does your knowledge of and belief in His love for you ebb and flow also? Though we love Him not perfectly, He loves us perfectly always. Can you sing it and believe it more truly? What we sang earlier. How great, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That He would, pause, fill in the blank, love you, that He would love me, that He would rescue me, that He would save me and keep me, that He would keep on loving me, that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. Where are you in the love of God today? Has Jude's admonition ever become very real that you must keep yourself in the love of God for you? Has John's affirmation of certainty become yours? We know and have come to believe the love He has for us. Beloved, His love is our resting place. His love is our security. His love experientially is our refreshment and our comfort. It is our hope in Christ alone. I want to close with Paul's words. These were words he spoke to the Thessalonians and to the Corinthians. Listen to what he said about the love of God. He said to the Thessalonians, "Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." Think of that. May the Lord, what if all of us today, the Spirit of God enabled us and directed our hearts into more the reality of the love of God for us? That would be life transforming. That would be great joy. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And then he said to the Corinthians, "Finally, brethren, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace be with you." The God of love be with you. Is this real to your soul? Can you live in it and walk in it and face the all things of Romans 8? None of these things can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. May God help us to know and believe the love He has for us and to keep ourselves increasingly in it. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, take your truth, plant it in us deeply, that this would be real to us, that we would live in the light of your love, that we would walk in that light, that we would experience the love of God, that our hearts would be directed into it, that we would diligently keep ourselves in it. So Lord, seal this in our hearts and in our minds and let it come out in our experience of walking with Christ and loving you. Blessed be your name. Amen.